Jennings Goes to School, the literary masterpiece. Half term passed, and Jennings and Derbyshire settled more comfortably into the pattern of school life. Jennings tried hard to get into the second 11. He was hovering on the brink of a place in the side, and when the team was posted on the notice board before each match, he would rush to be the first at the board and scan the list, hopefully. But so far, he had always been disappointed. Derbyshire played football in D game, the lowest and most rabbity of all, and in the classroom one evening, Jennings tackled his friend about this. "You know, Derby, your football's pathetic. Can't you do something about it?" "Well, I'm writing an article called Practical Hints on Football," was the proud reply. "I asked Mr. Carter if he'd put it in the school magazine, and he said he might think about it." "And who do you think's going to read it when they know it's written by a bloke who can't even see the ball coming, never mind kick it?" "That's what Mr. Carter said," Derbyshire admitted. "He said he'd rather I wrote something I knew more about for the mag. So I'm thinking of doing a detective story." "Well, what do you know about detectives?" Jennings asked him. "Well, anyone can write a detective story," replied Derbyshire. "You've only got to think of some characters and a plot, and there you are." "Yes, I suppose so," said Jennings. "Okay," said Derbyshire. "Let's go and start now." "First of all," said Derbyshire, licking his pencil, "we've got to think of a name for the detective. What about Mr. Nehemiah Bultitude?" "No, doesn't sound right," objected Jennings. "We want something with more zip, like..." "I know. What about Flixton Slick, the super sleuth?" Derbyshire rolled the syllables around on his tongue. Okay. It's a bit tricky to say, of course. You keep getting sloops in it if you say it too fast." They decided not to work out the plot before they started. Derbyshire was to write chapter one, leaving the hero in a difficult situation, which Jennings would have to cope with in chapter two. The following day was Friday, and the team to play Bretherton House School the next day appeared on the board at morning break. Jennings rushed out of class and crashed through the queue. He no longer expected to see his name on the board, but there was always a chance, and... yes, there it was. He could hardly believe his good fortune. He was to play in midfield, on the right. Oh, fantastic! Oh, terrific! Oh, hefty, ziggity doorknobs! But by the evening, he wasn't feeling too well. He had surpassed himself during the practice game, and he was feeling slightly sick at the end of it. He sat quietly through afternoon school, and at tea time was unable to eat a thing. "What's the matter, Jen?" inquired Venables. "You going into training for the match tomorrow?" "No," he replied, surveying the bread and butter with a jaundiced eye. "No, I just don't feel I want anything to eat. I feel sick. I'll be all right in the morning." Morning dawned, and his inside still felt as if he were descending a skyscraper in an express lift. "I'll go and fetch Matron," said Atkinson. Matron was brisk and hearty and stood no nonsense. She bounded into the room with a cheerful snatch of song on her lips and came to rest before the unwilling invalid. "Well, well, well," she said, "what's gone wrong here?" With lightning speed, she whipped a thermometer from its case, like a dagger from its sheath, and plunged it in between her patient's teeth. "Now then, you others," she turned to the rest of the dormitory, who were clustered around the end of the bed like flies around a honeypot. "Off you go. The breakfast bell will be going in two shakes of a lamb's tail." She hummed contentedly for a minute, took the thermometer from Jennings' mouth, and narrowed her eyes to see the fine column of mercury. A bilious attack was the diagnosis, and he was sentenced to stay where he was for the morning. "But, I'll be all right for the match this afternoon, won't I, Matron?" "Match this afternoon? Ha! Good gracious, no! Quite out of the question. You can sit on the couch in my sitting room, but no football." This was catastrophe. This was the end of everything. After weeks of effort, he had worked and played and willed his way into the team, only to spend the day of the match in bed. It was a morning darkened by the fog of despair. After a light lunch, Matron allowed him to come to her sitting room. "We'll have you as right as a trivet by tomorrow," she said. "And after the match, I've promised Derbyshire he can come up and talk to you. That will be nice, won't it?" Jennings spent a miserable afternoon. He could hear the cheering on the football pitch, but he could see nothing, and it was infuriating to listen to cheers and not to know what they portended. Derbyshire arrived after the match, and Jennings demanded details. "We won," said Derbyshire. 1-0. Johnson played in your position and scored the goal. He played a fantastic game. Everyone said how good he was, and he'll probably stay in the team now." He chatted on, unconsciously rubbing salt in the wound. "It's just as well for the school that you were ill, because Johnson wouldn't have been playing otherwise, and then we shouldn't have scored." Jennings was anything but pleased with these heavy-handed attempts to cheer him up. So, when Derbyshire proudly announced that he had brought Chapter 1 of Flixton Slick Super Sleuth with him, Jennings' mood was hostile. Derbyshire handed over the notebook reverently and sat back with the smile of the author who knows that praise is on its way. Jennings read aloud. Chapter 1. A vast crowd had gathered at the airfield to see Flixton Slick Super Sleuth take off the wings of his aircraft. "What's he want to take the wings off for?" Jennings demanded. "It doesn't say that," said Derbyshire. "There should be a full stop after take-off. They'd come to see him take off. Full stop." "Oh, I see," said Jennings. The wings of his aircraft glistened in the sun. How the vast crowd did cheer as the plane was airborne and waved handkerchiefs. He broke off. "That's daft. How can a plane wave handkerchiefs? You might as well make it flap its wings." "No, you goof," said the author. "I mean the crowd waved handkerchiefs." "Well, why don't you say what you mean?" He was certainly not going to be kind to the masterpiece after listening to Derbyshire's praise of Johnson. "Oh, just carry on, will you," said Derbyshire. "You know perfectly well what it means." "It was not a very exciting journey." "That's supposed to be exciting, not exiting," the author explained. "I don't think you're trying. Read properly." Jennings clicked his tongue reproachfully. "Soon Flixton Slick arrived at Scotland Yard," he read. "He had been sent for to investigate a mysterious spy who was working for a foreign power. His nickname was the Silent Shadow. The chief of police told Flixton Slick that the Silent Shadow's headquarters were in this warehouse that I shall tell you about later. So Flixton Slick left Scotland Yard with 3 uninformed constables." Jennings stopped again to inquire what it was they were uninformed about.
"You can't read properly," objected Derbyshire. "It doesn't say anything about their not being informed."
"Well, what's this, then?" demanded Jennings, passing the exercise book back to the author.
"Oh, sorry, I made a slip. It's meant to be uniformed. Look, would you like me to read it to you? You don't seem to be doing it very well. It doesn't make sense, whoever reads it, as far as I can see."
Derbyshire made a last attempt to silence the hostile criticism.
"Well, this bit that's coming's ever so exciting," he said. "Listen, I'll read it this time. So, Flixton Slick left Scotland Yard with 3 uniformed constables and went to the warehouse. He burst in. The Silent Shadow was hiding in a corner. When he saw Flixton Slick, he whipped out a revolver. Crack! 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 3 shots rang out. 2 policemen fell dead, and the 3rd whistled through his hat."
"Wait a minute," Jennings interrupted. "The 3rd did what? If 2 of your friends got shot dead, you might take off your hat as a mark of respect, but you wouldn't whistle through it. Besides, policemen wear helmets, not hats."
"It doesn't mean the policeman whistled through his hat, you oik!" Derbyshire was red in the face with anger. "It means the 3rd bullet whistled through Slixton Flick's hat."
"You can't even get the name right now. Slixton Flick Sloopersooth," Jennings jeered. Derbyshire hurled the book at him, but missed by several feet.
"Rotten shot," said Jennings. "Not even near enough to whistle through my hat, even if I had one." You're being rotten on purpose, Derbyshire shouted. I've a good mind not to be friends with you any more. Go on, then, don't be, Jennings yelled back. You come in here to cheer me up and tell me what a marvellous player Johnson is and what a good thing it is that I'm too ill to play. They were both shouting at once now, Derbyshire nearly in tears and Jennings angry and miserable. Now, 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 what's this? Said Matron, bouncing in to find out the cause of the uproar. I leave you thick as thieves, and hey presto, I come back to find you going for each other hammer and tongs. Jennings wondered why on earth Matron always had to talk like that. In his present mood, her hearty banter annoyed him. Off you go then, Derbyshire, she said. Derbyshire departed, muttering darkly about severed friendships. And you had better go down into school after tea, Jennings. You seem fit enough. Yes, Matron. She went out, leaving Jennings alone with the bitterness of his thoughts. What a ruin Derbyshire was! Fancy bursting in on an invalid in a delicate state of health and shattering his nerves to pieces with blood-and-thunder stories. And more important still... But no, he couldn't bring himself to think about the match. He was still trying hard not to think about it when Mr. Carter looked in. "Pity you had to miss the match," he said. "Very good game it was, too. Johnson played well." "Yes, I know, sir. I don't suppose I'll get another chance now." "Of course you will," said Mr. Carter. "Next Saturday. We're playing Bracebridge School. I'm going to play you and Johnson next time." The mist of gloom which had lain heavily over Jennings' spirits suddenly cleared.
"Oh, terrific, sir," he said. "Thanks most awfully, sir. Wow, I'm looking forward to next Saturday."
He was feeling fine when he went downstairs, and the first person he saw was a dejected and miserable Derbyshire. He was standing by a waste paper basket in the common room, tearing his deathless prose manuscript into little strips. As each scrap of paper fell into the basket, it was as though another link had been severed in the chain of their friendship. Poor old Derby, thought Jennings, eyeing him through the rose-coloured spectacles that his place in the team had lent him. He had misjudged him. His mood of happiness was so strong that it wiped out the resentment that he had felt earlier on. "Hello, Derby," he called from the doorway.
"Push off," Derbyshire said. "I've finished with you."
He tore the last page into 16 small pieces.
"No, look here, Derby," said Jennings. "I'm terribly sorry I said that about your story. I thought it was really good. Really."
Derbyshire looked up suspiciously.
"Are you pulling my leg?" he asked. "No, honestly. I wasn't feeling quite myself after the match. I was something, what do you call it, like effervescent. Convalescent." "Yes, but I'm all right now. Tell you what, let's write Flixton Slick out again." "Okay," said Derbyshire, thawing visibly. You...
There lingered in his mind the nagging thought that his fellow author might be seeking a further opportunity to mock his literary efforts.
"What?" said Jennings. You do really like Chapter One, don't you? As far as you got, anyway." "Of course I do. It's fantastic. Come on, you dictate, and I'll write."
Armed with a new notebook, they went to the tuck-box room. Derbyshire felt important now that he was about to dictate. He had never had a secretary before. He cleared his throat.
"A vast crowd gathered at the airfield to see Flixton Slick take off. Full stop."
The rift had been healed.
Jennings Goes to School was adapted by Ed Thomason and the book by Anthony Buckridge. The reader was Stephen Fry and the producer was Anne Hines.